T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, congratulations. It's 5 o'clock, and hopefully you have made it off work today. And luckily for you, Old Dirty and Show have the latest for you. And the latest is Dusty Baker, as they get set to take on the Orioles in Baltimore. He spoke and gave an update on Kyle Tucker and how long it may be before they can expect him to return.
Sometime mid to late this week. You know, we're trying to get his strength back, try to get his weight up, and before he goes out there, you know, in the heat, and trying to get his strength back together. So he's come along fine. Says he's a little bored, which is to be expected. And, you know, he's not that far off, I don't think.
All right, that is Dusty Baker. Apparently he did take batting practice today in Baltimore, which is a good sign. But they expect him hopefully to be back later on in the week. But this will just be big. We talked about how impressive this offense has been, and a big thing that's really impressive, they just haven't been completely whole. And Kyle Tucker has been one that was starting to come along. I think before Altuve went nuts, he had been leading this team in home runs for a long time. But he started to come on and was swinging the bat much better. If he comes back and you can get him going again, it's no telling where this offense can go.
Yeah, look, I mean, the thing is when you bring him back, you're going to have to sit down a pretty good, at least a pretty hot bat at that point in time, with these young guys, or let's say, I call them the others, right? I mean, outside of your top seven hitters on this team. I mean, those guys are swinging a stick pretty well, so. It'll be good to get Tucker back in the lineup, obviously, because he's a mainstay. But again, no need to rush it because you've got guys that are picking up the slack as he recovers.
Yeah. So him coming back in, and the lineup is back out tonight, they bring in your boy Chris McCormick back up into the two spot.
Well, who? It's Chaz.
Chris Chaz. Sorry.
It's white boy Chaz.
Sorry, Chaz.
It's Chazzy Fizz.
I got Chris Hansen. That's what I was
reading. Hold on, Joe.
Mixed up the white guys?
Nah, man. I just blew his name. I just didn't have it. And Chaz is an easy one. But Chaz is back in the two spot. They're bringing Correa back down to the six spot. As we said, hey, Dusty, you do whatever the hell you
want
to do.
Do what you want, man. You put him in a two-hole, three-hole, four-hole, six-hole, it don't matter.
He's
hotter than a firecracker.
He is. Yeah, don't matter. Abraham Toro back in it. But the big one tonight, though, is Jake Odorizzi. It's his turn, and everybody else has shown out again in their turn in the rotation. Framber was good. The person he's competing with the most, Luis Garcia, I think had the best performance of a pitcher, starting pitcher of the weekend. Greinke's not going anywhere. McCullers had his second start back off the IL, and he looked good, beating Keuchel yesterday. Everybody, Urquidy, 7 innings, 9 strikeouts in game one. So everyone has looked good. Now he is going up against the worst team record-wise in the American League in the Baltimore Orioles, against somebody, Keegan Aiken, who has a worse ERA than he is, 0-2 with a 5.76. He's got to pitch well. Not just look good, but he's got to pitch well to make a case for him to even be thinking of staying in the rotation over these other guys that are pitching.
Yeah, look, now's the time for Jake Odorizzi, right? I mean, I do think that there's a lot of baseball left this year. So when you talk about the Jake Odorizzi experiment and where does he land? There's plenty of time for that to unfold, and for there's going to be plenty of opportunity to figure that out. But show there's no doubt. As I said earlier, we're no longer talking about, well, the Astros got some young pitchers that you've seen a small sample size from that have electric stuff. We don't know where they fit. We don't know if it's going to work out in the bigs. We've seen such a small sample size. I mean, in 70 games, Luis Garcia has shown you he belongs, and he's got electric stuff. Framber Valdez has come back from an injury and has shown you that he can bounce back, obviously belongs, and has electric stuff. I mean, Jose Urquidy, he's coming back in an unbelievably effortless manner, is showing you that he belongs and has electric stuff. And so it's just the game has changed, and Odorizzi needs to catch up, and tonight's going to be his first opportunity, because it's no longer about just having good stuff. It's about these dudes are proven that they belong and competing their ass off to be the one of five starters in this rotation as they get down the back stretch of the season. So
this can't be one of those five innings, four runs, three runs.
No.
Compared to you look at it, Luis Garcia, who are you up against? Maybe the best pitcher in the American League. A strikeout menace.
Yes.
And who had people befuddled. And you go in there and you match him pitch for pitch in a huge game that was close the whole way. You can't come back and then face the Orioles and then go in there and give up 3-4 runs. This has to be a big time performance.
Well, dudes are just putting it together.
Yeah.
I mean, across the board on this staff, dudes are putting it together. And so whether it's injury, a lack of sample size, or not being able to perform and the stats aren't there, the numbers aren't there, the stuff's not there, regardless of what the crutch is, at this point, Jake Odorizzi has to drop the training wheels and go do work, or he's going to get left behind. It's just the fact of the matter with what these guys are doing right now.
So yeah, big night for Jake Odorizzi again.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Major League Baseball, today is the day, Clint. We've talked about and heard about, all right, the foreign substance, new rule or new consequence they're putting in if you get caught with a foreign substance.
Enforcement day, show.
Yeah, 10 days. Today is the day that they can start checking, and it has already happened. I think the best pitcher in baseball, Jacob DeGrom, for the Mets, he got it kicked off. He was already checked. Here is the play-by-play of Jacob DeGrom being checked for a foreign substance.
Today is the first day of increased scrutiny for pitchers as far as sticky substances on their person. They have said that they're not going to delay play. They're going to inspect pitchers as they come off the mound between innings or at the end of their stints. So they check DeGrom's hat. They say they want to check his belt. He said, "Do you want me to take it off?" They said no. They check under the belt. And now he has passed inspection.
Jeez, thank God they didn't go that far.
Oh, my God. These pitchers are going to be irate. I want all the managers to come together and do it to Trevor Bauer every time he pitches. You know how mad Trevor Bauer would be every time he pitches. I'm going to check him out here. Just want to make sure. These pitchers are going to
imagine how mad McCullers is going to get.
Yeah, Lance is another one who'll get real fired up.
I wonder which Astros pitcher is it going to bug the most. Grinke don't give a damn.
He'll sit down.
Right. The other guys are so young, they really can't say much.
I can see Lance getting
definitely going to be McCullers. It's definitely McCullers.
Lance will get ticked off. Lance will get good and ticked off. What about your boy Ryan Stanek? Does he got an anger issue?
I don't know. But he's not going to be out there enough to, I mean, just go do work and come off. I mean, you know, even if they just check him once, you know, he's not going to go back out there.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's in a hurry. It's the guy that's going to have to go out there 5, 6, 7, 8 times and could possibly get checked 3 or 4 times.
Like Gerrit Cole, he's going to get checked repeatedly. Gerrit's already let us know that he's used it.
Boy, I feel sorry for
him. Oh, God, could you imagine if Verlander was pitching? Now, that's somebody who'd lose it.
Yes.
Justin Verlander. I just want somebody to say no.
Enough's enough. You've checked me enough.
Like Roger Dorn on Major League when he refused to leave first base after he got hit. No, I'm not going. No, staying right here. No. No, that's what I want. I want some pitcher to go out there and just lose it. Oh, I wish. There's some old pitchers that I wish they would just do that too. like guys like Roger Clemens. Just, I want to check it. Go to hell. Go to hell. No, I'm not letting you. Pedro will fight them if they come out there and try to check him. So this will be a lot of fun. We'll see how many times the Astros will do it. But we do know, according to Dusty Baker, as of now, they won't be checking anybody. They'll just let anyone wear whatever they have on their hands and pitch against the Astros because Dusty's old school.
I'm from a different generation.
Good God.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, NFL news. The Chiefs are at it again. Their star pass rusher, Frank Clark, was arrested yesterday, Sunday, after cops say he had an Uzi in his Lambo. SUV, TMZ Sports were the first to report it. Law enforcement sources tell us Clark was pulled over on a routine traffic stop Sunday evening in Los Angeles when cops say they noticed an open duffel bag in his ride. Our sources say the officers saw the firearm inside the bag and arrested the 28-year-old for felony illegal possession of a firearm.
What are we doing, Frank?
And this isn't Frank's first go around. I mean, when it comes to law enforcement. So this is.
How careless can you be? By the way, Uzi and his Lambo SUV sounds like a video or a lyric. But there's, I mean, how careless can you be driving around in L.A.?
This was a duffel bag open.
You got a duffel bag open with an Uzi in that joker. Like, you just clearly don't give a rip.
No.
You just clearly don't get it.
I just, in your SUV, like in a space where they could just see it. It's a routine traffic
I don't know that
stop.
I've seen the Lambo SUV. Have you seen the Lambo SUV?
I got to be. It's an SUV, so I feel like it's got to be in a space where it's just, I would love to see where it was when the officers just viewed it, where they could just look into the car and see an open duffel bag. But what is he doing? Like, you can't be Frank Clark. And be an NFL football player, really, you shouldn't, anyone should do this. But you damn sure can't be Frank Clark and have an Uzi that you don't have a license for in your car. Not to mention your domestic violence issues where you've had felony charges before. Like, you can't, this can't be you.
That's not a duffel bag Uzi ride.
But he should not have
it's
one.
It's a small SUV that almost looks like one of those like a CRV crossover type deal.
I mean,
I know it's a Lambo and everything, Frankie, but dang, man.
What's he doing? And this is a guy who they could get out of his contract after this year, and they have been looking at him
they
like...
they being the Chiefs, they ain't getting out of that contract.
Well, I mean, after this year, his salary cap hit is a lot.
Gotcha.
Like he's kind of playing in a contract year. He didn't show up to OTAs. He didn't come to OTAs, and now he's getting arrested Sunday morning.
I don't understand. I don't judge nobody, but whether it's guns in the car or it's drugs, like... To each their own. Do what you want to do. But you go to a whole nother level of you don't give a rip when you drive around with an open duffel bag or you snort coke in it behind the bar at midnight. Like what are we doing?
I don't understand it. It's just the dumbest thing. I'm just gonna ride around in California with an Uzi. With an Uzi that I know if I get pulled over, it's a felony. I don't get it. All right, I got to get Clint's thought because there's nobody else that we could talk to right now with his experience in NFL locker room on one of the biggest stories happening in the NFL right now. We'll go get into that coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, Clint Sterner and the Show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610. You can text or call in. And Clint, this is, I would think this is pretty big news, even in this time, but this is from Adam Schefter. Just a bit ago, Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib became the first active NFL player to announce that he is gay. This is from Nassib himself. What's up, people? He posted on IG, I just wanted to take a quick moment to say that I am gay. I have been meaning to do this for a while now, but finally feel comfortable getting it off my chest. This is the first openly gay player, active gay player that the NFL has had. And I'm just curious from your perspective, this to me, I remember when it kind of happened in the NBA, when the Collins came out, do you think this will be, even in 2021, just real talk, an issue from your experience of how the locker room goes and everything? Do you think this will be a potential issue in NFL locker room?
Yeah, it'll be an issue. I mean, I don't know to what degree, but I would imagine that it'll be an issue that the NFL is going to have to deal with, you know, consistently as more and more, you know, individuals come out. And I would imagine they're prepared for it, though. I mean, I don't know about the team itself, like the locker room itself, but I would imagine that the NFL is prepared for it. But, yeah, in locker rooms – I think it'll be an issue, it'll be a struggle at first. It'll be interesting to see how it's handled by teams and players and the NFL as a whole, for sure.
No, I mean, I good for him for coming out saying, you know, I feel comfortable to be able to live my life the
Who's
way
he
it
with
is.
Now? What
He's
team's
with
he
the Raiders. And the thing is, though, but real life is, How are people going to respond to this? I remember Charles Barkley has said, NBA player Charles Barkley, if you don't know who Charles Barkley is, he said, oh, we would know a bunch of guys around the league, several guys around the league who were gay that just, you know, didn't come out. Everyone just knew. And your experience in the NFL, was that the case where there were guys who maybe publicly – the media and everyone didn't know publicly, but there were guys around the league where you're like, we know.
Not
he's
me.
Gay.
Not personally. No, I didn't. I was never aware. There was never, I was never in a locker room with anybody that there were not in the league that there were even conversations or concerns or thoughts about a certain individual being gay at that point. I never ran into that. Now, in college, there were I remember a couple of guys that you know may have been kind of deal, but
it was just never anybody just. You know, that everyone knew,
it was never known, right? I mean, it was never confirmed, so to speak. And I just think confirming something like that being confirmed in the dynamic in a locker room of all males, I think something like that being known and being confirmed is definitely going to be something that that particular locker room and any other locker room where there's where a guy comes out and he's confirmed, I think there's going to be some hurdles along the way. Yeah.
From the text line, you know, this is a different time from when Clint played. It's 2021. People are more accepting. Listen, I'm not going to argue that from when Clint played in the early 2000s, but the NFL locker room I still think this was a big deal for him and probably some concerns for him. And I'm not going to sit here and there's a reason why in 2021 that no one has come out prior to this point, because just because we're at a more, I'd say, tolerable time right now does not mean that in that circle, and you know it better than I do. I've just been someone who has, been in locker rooms as a media member. In those circles, that there wouldn't be potential issues, problems there.
I think time has definitely changed. The texture is correct. I mean, the times have definitely changed. I think it's more of an open discussion at this point in time. It's more openly accepted at this point in time. But that doesn't. I mean, the question to me was: are there going to be some problems? Yeah, I think there's going to be some hurdles for that particular team and locker rooms and coaching staffs and organizations and the NFL as a whole to overcome moving forward when these kind of announcements are made. There's zero doubt about it.
Yeah. So Clint Sterner in the show, whoever he is, with you here, as we just reported from Adam Schefter, Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib became the first active NFL player to announce that he is gay, doing on Instagram. So it'll be an interesting situation to continue to watch here with the Raiders in that situation. Once again, this Frank Clark thing, the text line is just going crazy on Frank Clark. If you missed it, Frank Clark has been arrested for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's one of their highest paid players. He was pulled over in a regular traffic stop and had an Uzi in a bag opened up. And there's someone just saying, this is just normalcy. Like, this is normalcy in the NFL. That don't act like players don't do this all the time. This is normal. Like, come on, man. Like,
there's nothing normal about that. Yeah. Driving around in L.A. in a Lambo with an Uzi and a duffel bag that's unzipped to where the cop can see the gun. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing normal about that. There's one thing to carry a gun for, maybe without a license and you have it in your under your seat or in the glove box or something of that nature. I can totally understand that. Now, I wouldn't do it, but I could totally understand that. The Uzi and a duffel bag in the back of a Lambo in downtown LA. Yeah, you're begging for attention and the wrong kind of
That's just because I'm sure you've played with guys that are just not the greatest decision makers. How does that even enter your mind?
I've never gotten a car with a guy at any level and there was a gun in the car
that I knew of.
Like, just riding around. Like, I'm talking about in everyday life. Like, I did stuff that was, I mean, hell, there was stuff in high school and that I did that was stupid that involved guns. But I knew they were there. Like, there wasn't no denying that, right? I'm talking about just get in the car to go eat lunch or go to dinner and you get pulled over and my man's got a gun in a duffel bag in the back. Like, I've just never, I've just never experienced that.
That's just not just happening in the NFL, or we would see that more. I just can't get over the decision, the thought. Like, I mean, you just must think you're invincible. I could do whatever the hell I want to do. I could just, whatever, man. Let's go. Oh my God. I mean, I could never ride with Frank Clark again. If I'm a teammate, I'm out, dog. I can't ride with you again.
That would be the deal, right? You got to make sure with Frank, you're like, hey man, you got anything in the car before I get in there? You got anything in there?
Dog, man. I can't get with the mindset, and I'm sure people have things some kind of way. Like, I got to be doing something else. If I feel like that's what I got to have in my car with me, like, I need to not go wherever the hell I'm going, or I got something's wrong. If I feel like, hey, I got to carry an Uzi with me.
I need an Uzi. At my fingertips.
Yes. I got to have it in my car. Then something's wrong.
Well, I mean, at that point, it's when you just go, okay, well, I mean, if it's for protection, maybe don't drive the Lambo SUV in L.A. Like, get you a pickup truck.
Or if it's for protection, yeah, we got to do, like, there's got to be something else. There got to be bodyguards. There got to be something else before it says, that's it.
You ain't getting no pushback from me. I'm with you, man.
Uzi.
I agree.
Uzi. That's the one that I need to go with. God, Lord have mercy. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up, listen, this Deshaun Watson situation has been crazy from the get-go, and we've been on it up and down and where he may go, when he may get traded, what teams are interested. Well, there is one team that has always been in play that potentially may not be in play anymore because of an important reason that they may have to look the other way. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Ah, Clint Sterner, the Miami Dolphins. You said that's a squad. That's a squad that has everything that the Texans
could
need, right?
It's the most likely place for Deshaun Watson to be dealt, in my humble opinion.
Do you think it'd be an issue if the fans didn't want him to be there?
Do I think it'd be an issue?
If the Miami Dolphin fans were
because ultimately I think that's an organization that has had a tough time keeping fans and getting fans to their games. So I don't know that I'd, but nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, apparently I think the Dolphins are a team that look at Deshaun Watson and say, "Ooh, I'd like to have him as well with this team and this roster that we have."
So.
And they've retooled, and it's odd, right? Didn't they retool with parts that you feel like could really work with Deshaun's game, like
yeah.
Will Fuller and Jalen Waddle out of Alabama? But apparently, maybe that's not as much in Miami. A gentleman who covers the Dolphins, and here we go, Alan Poupar, right?
Is there that you it? Go. Good job,
Alan
man.
Poupar.
Yeah, good job,
a gentleman who covers the Miami Dolphins. Don't clap your hands at me, man. I could have come in next.
He covers the Miami Dolphins for SI.com.
SI.com. Alan with an I, Poupar. He covers the Dolphins, and he was talking about a trade potential and the value, and if it's caused a divide within the fan base. This was his thoughts.
Oh, no question. Those people are at odds with each other. Absolutely no question about it. And part of the issue is that the big Tua fans see any talk of bringing in Watson as disrespect for Tua instead of looking at it as the possibility of picking up a 25-year-old franchise quarterback.
Mm. I
never thought we'd be having this conversation.
What in the world?
That is it's very interesting because, I mean, here's the deal. He said the big Tua fans, right? Like, How many big Tua fans are there at this point in Miami? I'm one. I like Tua. I'm 100% behind ease up on the young fella. Give him a chance. Give him some weapons, which they have. Let him develop. And let's see what happens. Give him an off season. Give him a normal season, and let's see what happens. So I'm one of those guys that I believe in letting the guy play, but damn, I mean, at this point, I don't know that there's really anybody out there that should be beating the drum of being a huge Tua fan to the tune of viewing a potential trade for a top five quarterback in the league right now that would instantly make you a contender.
I mean, Clay,
you view that as
you might a be problem? A big you might be a big Tua fan right now until you can get Deshaun Watson.
Correct.
Right? And,
yes.
And that was the part. Like, see, I could even get to the point where, and if you listen to the whole thing, get to the point where, well, this was something that because of the allegations that are against Deshaun Watson right now, maybe that's it. But this was a thought where there's a lot of Team Tua prior to the allegations when it was just about, hey, Miami is a place where Deshaun would want to go. And there are people Team Tua. Yeah, you can be a Tua fan until you can get Deshaun Watson. Like,
oh,
hey,
I agree. Right? I personally completely agree with that show, but I'll say this. Like, I think there's people in Houston. There's a chunk of the fan base in Houston that aren't on board with Deshaun Watson and weren't on board with Deshaun Watson. This was before the lawsuits were filed, obviously. There was a chunk of this fan base that wasn't on board with Deshaun Watson the way that you and I are on board with Deshaun Watson. In terms of they didn't feel like that he was a championship-caliber quarterback.
There's a championship caliber. I will agree. There are people who felt that way.
So why would we think that there's not a good chunk of people in Miami that feel that way?
Yeah,
about
but
Deshaun?
But a group of people here, and I'm talking about realistic people, not just some people who like we've had people text in that thought AJ McCarron gives this team a better chance to win.
Well, come
I'm
on.
Not talking about the football illiterate folks, but those. That have come around and said I have concern that he is a championship guy. I can see that, but isn't that different than, hey man, I think he's not a championship guy or compared to Tua, like compared to what Tua is. Like, come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, I'm
that's
not,
different than
in the Tua Deshaun Watson comparison. I'm out.
I don't know if he's Mahomes or Brady in terms of championships, but.
Well, I just think that there's a lot of people out there that don't view Deshaun Watson through the same lens that you and I view him through. And if there's a big group here or a good size group here that feels that way, why wouldn't there be in Miami? Why wouldn't there be in other NFL cities? And so while I totally disagree with them, wholeheartedly disagree with them, it doesn't surprise me that there's individuals out there that would be Team Tua over Deshaun.
Well, and then this is the part that really got me. He went on to talk about like there is a faction of support for both sides for Tua and Team Watson. And he talks about like if he were to weigh the of how strongly each one feels. This was really one that caught me off guard.
It's pretty soundly in favor of Tua as the guy for the Dolphins.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And again, this is me, as you mentioned, it's not scientific. This is me
going
by what I gauge, what I see on Twitter, on Facebook. I think it's a pretty decisive margin as well.
A decisive margin of Tua over Watson. See, Clint, I would think that there would be a small group who may feel like you're saying, all right.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but I wouldn't think it would be decisive or whatever at that point, because I honestly feel around the league and people that I've talked to that in media, outside of media, people I've talked to, their thought of Deshaun is Deshaun Watson has been held back for years by the coaching, Bill O'Brien in particular. He's been held back by the Texans. This guy's a much better player than he has. He's drugged the Texans to where they have been. That seems to be what most people I've talked to, their thought process of what Deshaun Watson is. So I'm even surprised that it's a bigger group of people like in a city like Miami who could watch last year, the quarterback play is what the struggle was, that's their mindset to where my guy who covers them would say, no, I think it's a heavy lean towards Tua. That catches me.
Yeah, it's there. Hard. It's hard for me to get get to the 50-50 or above if you take all things into consideration. Like even if you consider, okay, Do you like Deshaun more, but you're just not willing to give up Tua plus a bunch of first round draft picks and mortgage your next couple of years worth of draft picks? You know, I guess I can I can increase that percentage of people that would maybe pick two over Deshaun given those circumstances, but I still can't get anywhere close to 50%.
Yes.
It's hard to believe that number's that big.
Because
sure.
I think even people who are hardcore guys who know the game, hell, like you do, or like Seth does, or like, you know, Wade does, or Cecil does, who play the game, even hardcore people know that the biggest game-changing part, and not game-changeness, but the biggest game-changing part is the quarterback position. That's the position that is the most difficult position to feel, the toughest position in team sports, and in the game of football, the biggest position that can change things. We watched it last year with Tom Brady. Like, he's not even at the height of his talents, but we see how important that position was to change things. So I would think that people would think, all right, no, that's a lot to give up, but it's not a corner we're talking about. This is the quarterback.
Yeah.
This is the position that we're dealing in. And I don't know, man. A clear move over to.
Well, we are talking about a fan base here. We're not talking about the front office.
Well,
we're not
true,
talking about the locker room. And I just, you know, I'm going to tell you, the locker room, there's zero chance. There is zero chance that the locker room would prefer having Tua take snaps at the quarterback position over Deshaun Watson this coming year. I know that much. I don't – the fan base, we can paint different pictures and you know, try to wrap our head around Tua over Deshaun. But with that locker room, there is zero chance.
Zero chance. And I think not just the locker room, the front office as well. I don't think there are people in the – I would hope not. There are people in the front office saying, you know what, man, I know we got a chance to get Deshaun, but I want to let this Tua thing run its course a little bit longer. Let's let the Tua thing – run through. Let's catch one more year. I know we got a chance to get him right now, but let's let this run its course a little bit longer. I can't see that in the front office as well. Mike, I'm gonna let you jump in here. Go ahead, Mike. What's your thoughts on this situation with the Dolphins?
Hey, what's up, guys? A Bama alum, so I'm a big Tua guy. I like everything that he stands for. But Miami has got an improved offensive line. That was a challenge. Their defense is decent. They've gotten some weapons. You're insane if you want Tua over Deshaun Watson. It's insanity.
I agree. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, I like I said, I love Tua, but he's still finding his way. Watson has proven that guy's electric. That guy makes plays. And with that cast of characters in Miami, they immediately be a contender. I love the show. Love listening to you guys in drive time. I'll go ahead and hang up and listen. But, yeah, no brainer. You got to take Watson.
Appreciate you, Mike. Yeah, that doesn't make it. Yeah, insane. That's a good word too. That's what I said. I said football literate, but I like insane as well for Mike. Now, I just don't see how you could get yourself there. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. There is a delay in Baltimore. They're waiting with a little rain in Baltimore, so that game may not get off in time between the Astros and the Orioles. But at some point, that Astros offense is going to get on the field, and they're going to get their hands on the Orioles, one of the worst pitching staffs and the worst record-wise team in the American League. I don't know. If we sit here as we're nearing the All-Star break, and remember, we discussed coming into the season what this team was going to look like, what this offense was going to look like. Are you all shocked about how good this Astros offense is, how good this lineup is, that they are putting up the numbers and as dominant as they are, learning, just remembering where we were at the start of the season on what we thought this team was going to be like.
Yeah, sure. I'm definitely shocked. I mean, there's one thing to be, you know, a contender and be carried by the lineup and the offensive, you know, firepower that you have. But I didn't think in my wildest dream that the Astros – and look, there's a lot of baseball left, but I never would have thought that the Astros would be on the verge of putting a season together that would shut down and quiet the critics after the sign stealing scandal. I mean, I said this right after the scandal, like the pressure on the players, particularly like Altuve and Bregman and the guys that were obviously here and a big part of it, the pressure on those guys now to sustain the averages, all the stats that they had put up in 17, 18, and 19, the pressure to show moving forward that what you were doing wasn't reliant on stealing signs was through the roof. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think that there was any way that the lineup as a whole would be able to produce at a rate to silence the critics.
It feels like they felt that pressure last year. It felt like
I'm sure they feel it
in that 60-game season. They really felt it last year where their offenses weren't up to that point. And, you know, Altuve struggled all year long and some other – and Lowe struggled at times last year. But it seems like if there is – and I think that's a good point. If there is some pressure with that, they are handling it in a much better way this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're obviously at this point handling it well. There's a lot of baseball left, but I think you look at how they're doing it. I mean, they're 1-7. I think any way you slice it, they're as good as 17 and 19 at the plate. I mean, top 1-7 with Tucker hitting the ball the way he's hitting it now, with Yuli having the season that he's having, with Altuve owning the leadoff position the way that he's owning the leadoff position, Correa coming into his own, Alvarez coming back on the backside of these injuries with the same bat, if not better. They're as good as of an Astros lineup that we've seen. And I know tit for tat, you put the stats up there.
You're just talking about for the feel you get when you watch them.
When it's all said and done this season, I think it's going to be very comparable, if not better numbers across the board for the lineup than what we saw in 2017 or 2019. For the Astros.
From the text line, I completely disagree with this. The key to the Astros' success has been the starting pitching. When starters keep you in the game, it makes it easier on the offense.
They lead the league in runs per game.
I think the starting pitching has been big here.
Yeah.
But I'll be damned. No, the starters seem to get to relax every single game because this offense gets going pretty immediate. Like, I mean, I look up a ton. I remember I looked it up and, well, Framber's up 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
3-0 for them Thursday as they jump out. Like, they jump out into leads and they take so much pressure off the starting pitching because, as we say, somebody's going to get you. And many times they get you early and often.
Well, there was even one game. It was. I think it was 2-0 or 2-1 when I looked up, and I was doing something, so I was kind of watching it, you know, and as I was working, and I looked up, and I was like, literally took my head away from the TV for a minute, and it was 3-2. The Astros were up. I was like, gosh dang, it's the first inning. What the hell happened?
Oh, that has happened to me a lot. That happened to Thursday. That happened to me. It was like 1-1 or something. I looked up. It was 6-1. What the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell happened? I'm gonna tell you. For me, I thought they would miss Springer a lot more than they have. I thought him up front, I thought him at the top of the lineup, I thought they would miss him much more than they are. And, I mean, I think Altuve has been, if not better, as good as he's been in the leadoff spot. His on-base percentage is probably a little less streakier than Springer is. I thought they would miss his bat a lot more than they have. And they haven't, and I think Yuli has absolutely made up for that and made you forget it. Alvarez now coming back. Hell, he only played 2 games last year.
I think Alvarez being out last year and the Astros still making a good run at it, I think that helped soften the blow of Springer. You know, if they'd have made that same run with Alvarez all year long and then you're just subtracting Springer and moving back into this season, I think you look at it as a big blow. But the fact that they were able to this year, I mean, you essentially add Yuli back in, take Springer out. I mean, not Yuli, add Alvarez in and take Springer out. And then you've got a bunch of other guys that they've just found a way to make it work. Like Altuve being back in that leadoff role, it fits him like a glove, man.
Well, yeah, but he's hitting almost 300. That's very different than what he was doing last year. I mean, last year, remember, he was really, really struggling.
Picked it up a bit in the playoffs, but really, really struggling. But yeah, everyone has picked it up pretty much. Yeah. Everyone has picked it up.
Well, tonight is all about. We talked about this. Is all about Jake Odorizzi, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jake Odorizzi tonight
for his rotation life.
Yeah, look, and then, like I said, there's a lot of baseball left, and I still think this thing, big picture, is all about what's best for the Astros. What pitcher moving to the bullpen works best from the mental standpoint, physical standpoint, emotional, all that. We've had John Rocker on here. We've had Brandon Bakke on here. We've had several different MLB pitchers on here tell us, hey, man, it's a different animal to come out of the pen or to be a closer than it is to be a starter. And so I don't know what the right formula is for the Astros, and I'm sure they'll figure all that out. But I know right now with Jake Odorizzi, These young cats with the Astros are leaving him no slack.
Are you still into a place where you want to let him figure it out?
Yeah,
and put.
I think it's a smart thing to do is to let this thing play out, because I don't know what the best fit is. I mean, if there's certain guys that just go into the pen mentally is not an option, then it's just not an option. But and if Jake Odorizzi, if that decision hinges on Jake Odorizzi proving that he can be a quality starter for the Astros, then damn it, you got to wait this thing out and give him opportunity after opportunity, especially when there's roughly 100 games left in the season. So, yeah, I mean, I'm still in a patient mode, I guess would be the best way to say it right now. But they're putting a lot, these young cats, Luis Garcia, Framber Valdez, Jose Urquidy, they're putting a lot of pressure on Jake Odorizzi. That's for damn sure.
No, he's got – yeah, he can't have – because when you start to compare who he's pitching against tonight, the Orioles, the worst team in the American League, especially if you look at records.
They called them the Baby Birds earlier when we were listening to Baltimore radio.
Is that what they call
baby
them?
The Baby Birds.
Baby Birds, Iron Birds.
Oh, God. And those guys that you just named off, they did it against what was thought to be the best team in baseball coming in and one of the best offenses. You can't come rolling through here 5 1/3 – with 3 or 4 runs. So that can't work. So he needs to have a big night. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer.
Let's get it on, baby.
That's right. And John Harris will be up, coming up behind us. Great job. Great Monday, Clint. Woo! Fired up, right?
Thanks, bud.
Ready to go. Tyler, man, you did the best you could, man, and we appreciate you for that. I am Ron, the show, and as always, Houston – we love you, baby.
You can't be sending no Pendergast out
fire
with no
a bottle
monotone.
Rocket up my ass. I'm ready to go tomorrow.
Whoa. What the hell is going on in here?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.